Welcome to Senate Finance. I apologize for the delay. Today is Friday, April 7th, 2017. The time is 1:52 p.m. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this afternoon, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Dunleavy.
Good afternoon.
Senator Olson.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Michicki.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin? On today's agenda, we have three items. SB 31, state employee increase for 2 years. That would be no state employee increase for 2 years. HB 48, architect, engineers, and surveyors extend the board date. SB 50, increase studded tire fee. The first item before us is SB 31. An act relating to compensation, merit increases, and pay increments for certain public officials, officers, and employees not covered by collective bargaining agreements and providing for an effective date. The public hearing was open and closed on March 23, 2017. No amendments have been received, and we covered the fiscal notes at our last hearing. Is there any questions from committee members on SB 31? We do have the department available for questions if you have any questions. Seeing and hearing none, Senator Bishop.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 31, version 30-GS1018/A from committee with the accompanying fiscal notes and committee recommendations.
Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, Senate Bill 31-A moves from committee. Brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. The next item before the body is HB 48, an act relating to the composition of the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, extending the termination date of the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, and providing for an effective date. I'd like to invite Representative Pito and his staff, Bianca Carbonetti, to the microphone. Welcome to Senate Finance. Ms. Carpinetti, would you like us to delay and take the other bill first? Or?
That's all right. I can begin, and my boss should be here shortly.
Okay.
My apologies for that. He stepped out. For the record, Bianca Carpinetti, staff to Representative Quito. Thank you, co-chairs, members of the committee, for hearing House Bill 48. HB 48 extends the termination date of the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, AELS Board, and changes the status of the current Landscape Architect Board member from a non-voting to a voting member. This bill reflects the recommendations of the Division of Legislative Audit, as well as the AELS Board, which supports making the Landscape Architect a voting member of the board. Chris Curtis from the Legislative Budget and Audit is here to present the 2016 AELS Sunset Audit. Michelle Elfers, Landscape Architect on the Board of Alaska Professional Design Councils, and Colin Maynard on the AELS board are here to testify in support. Actually, Mr. Maynard is online. Additionally, Janie Hovenden with DCCED and Alicia Jones, the executive administrator for the AELS board, are here to take questions of the department. If there are no initial questions, I'll turn it over to Chris Curtis to present the sunset audit.
Ms. Curtis, if you could identify yourself for the record. Actually, Ms. Carpinetti, if you would stay there.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we don't really need a bill walkthrough.
For the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I'm your state legislative auditor. Division did do an audit of the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, Land Surveyors. I believe you all have a copy of the audit in your packet. For the record, a purpose of a sunset audit is to determine whether the board is serving the public's interest and whether it should be extended. Overall, the audit found the board is serving the public's interest by effectively registering and regulating architects, engineers, and land surveyors. The board monitors registrants and works to ensure that only qualified individuals practice in Alaska. We recommend extending this board the maximum allowable in statute, which is 8 years. The audit made no recommendations, but I'd like to point out some information you may find useful as you contemplate this bill. Page 7 is a schedule of revenues and expenditures. You can see that at the end of FY13, the board had a deficit of almost $260,000. At that point, fees were increased, and the board at the end of FY15 had a surplus of just over $743,000. And at that point, fees were decreased. If you turn the page, you will see a schedule of fees for this board. The audit also discusses board composition, and we note that all professions that are regulated by this board are represented on the board by a permanent voting member, except the landscape architect position. A temporary non-voting landscape architect position was established in uncodified law in 1988, and since 1988, this position has participated in all of the board's activities. Each time this board was extended, again, that temporary position was made in uncodified law. The initial intent of the position was to assist the board in drafting regulations for the landscape architect profession. We interviewed 7 board members as part of the audit to find out whether these board members supported making the temporary position permanent, and all 7 board members did support that.
Are there questions from committee members? Thank you. Is there questions from the sponsor's representative? Senator Von Imhoff.
Yes, so just to make sure I see, the fiscal note has $29,600. For included in governor's 2018 request, and then out year estimates again about 29. So just verifying that is in fact correct, and that's going to be covered with receipts.
For the record, Bianca Carpinetti, staff to Representative Quito. Yes, the fiscal note you have in front of you is correct. There's also members for, or excuse me, representative from the department who can speak more to the fiscal note, but it is covered in program receipts.
We'll take up the fiscal notes a bit later. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Ms. Carpinetti. You come from a family that has delivered state service to the people of Alaska for decades. Just a shout out to your mom and dad.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. With that, I'd like to open the public hearing on House Bill 48. House Bill 48, I'll go to the Anchorage LIO. Mr. Colin Maynard. You could identify yourself for the record, and then please proceed with 3 minutes of testimony.
Madam Chair, my name is Colin Maynard. I'm a member of the AELS board and have been for 5 years, and I'm a licensed civil engineer since 1988. I've actually followed the AELS board for about the last 30 years as part of the Alaska Professional Design Council's Legislative Liaison Committee. I'm here more to answer any questions you might have. I think we're doing a pretty good job. We did reduce the fees when we ended up with an excess. That was mainly because we added a whole bunch of different disciplines and got a lot of licensees from out of state with those disciplines. And we didn't reduce it, so we'll end up zero. We want to keep somewhat of a balance in case we do have a major case that we'll have some amount of money to deal with that situation. With that, if there are any questions.
Mr. Maynard, that's my job. But I have one for you. Can you tell me why it's necessary four times a year to be face-to-face for this board?
The main reason is because we have to review applications and we have to have two people review each one. And it's really easier if we're sitting next to each other rather than trying to talk over a phone where there might be four conversations going at once reviewing different applications.
Okay. Are there other questions from committee members? Mr. Maynard, thank you so much for calling in your service on the board.
Thanks.
Is there anyone else wishing to testify on House Bill 48? If you'd sign up at the sign-in sheet, we'll bring you forward real quick. Anyone online or off-net? Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Michelle Elfer, if you, and if I've got it wrong, then just please correct it for the record, please. Any identification or affiliation, and then please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Michelle Elfers. I am a licensed landscape architect in the state of Alaska. I work for the City and Borough of Juneau, and I'm also a member of the Alaska Professional Design Council board on the landscape for our American Society of Landscape Architects. We are a member organization for design professionals throughout Alaska. And so speaking as a member of the board for APDC, I'd like to say that we all unanimously support HB 48 to extend the ALS board. And we also unanimously support providing a permanent voting seat for landscape architects on the ALS board. And also I want to say, speaking for as a landscape architect, I also support both of those things. And we've been acting on the ALS board for many years now. We've been participating in reviewing licensure applications and other activities, and we've paid our fees and our dues. And so we feel this is an issue of equal representation on the board, and we hope that you will consider that.
Are there questions from committee members? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Elfers, could you tell me how many land surveyors there are compared to how many architects and engineers, so that I get an idea of what the distribution is now that we have a voting member, or a member has become a voting member?
Okay, just to clarify, are you referring to landscape architects, how many landscape architects there are? I'm a landscape architect. So there's just under 50 that are licensed with the state, and so I don't have numbers for other professions. I do know that mining engineers are also about 50, and they do have a representative on the ALS board, voting permanent. And so we are, of mining engineers and landscape architects, my understanding is we're at two of the lowest level of design professionals licensed in the state. I think there's quite a few civil engineers are much higher than we are.
No further questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you for coming to Senate Finance today.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to testify on House Bill 48? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. If I could ask Janie Hovedin to come to the microphone. Welcome back.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Janie Hovedin. I'm the Division Director for Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. With me today is Alicia Jones. She's the newly hired Executive Administrator for the AELS, or Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors Program.
Welcome to Senate Finance. Senator Olson asked a question. Senator Olson, you asked a question regarding how many licensees are there in each of the individual professional licensures under this board. Do you have that number?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, yes, I do have that information.
Your name for the record?
Oh, sorry. My name is Alicia Jones, and I'm the Executive Administrator for the Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. And again, to answer your question, Senator Olson, there is approximately 3,000 civil engineers. Next largest is mechanical engineers at 843. There are several, as Michelle Elfers mentioned, around the 50 mark, fire protection, landscape architects, mining, and then we have other ones that there's 476 land surveyors, and if you'd like a complete listing of all of them, I'd be happy to provide that information.
Ms. Jones, that would be helpful, a list, and then do they each pay the same licensing fee? And the reason I'm asking that is there is travel associated with these positions, and we have a fiscal note of $27,000+. So we'd like to know how they're contributing towards participation.
It's my understanding that the licensing fees are, through the chair, it is my understanding that the licensing fees are not discipline specific, so that they would be the same regardless of.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Yes, thank you, through the chair. I was looking at the audit, and I do see on page 5 has a list of all the different types of architects and engineers and the numbers of each. And then again on page 8, I think it shows the different fees that are paid. There's probably, a dozen or so fees. And it does not break it out on who pays what. So that was helpful to have this in the audit. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Curtis. Senator Dunleavy.
Good chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. Page 7 in the audit shows an ending cumulative surplus with the exception of FY13. It's growing. The surplus is growing. When you receive these DGF funds into this account, at what point, what happens if your surplus gets to a certain level, a certain point? Do you reimburse? What do you do with the excess revenue?
Senator Dunleavy, through the chair, we, in FY16, we recognized that the surplus was growing, and although they were a little hesitant because they do not like the spikes and the drops, they kind of want to keep an amount that is something that they can budget for and expect. They really kind of wanted to keep the fees stable, but we did convince them to drop the fees this last time, and so they do want to keep a little bit of a buffer, as Colin Maynard had testified to. So this will slowly eat up the surplus.
To be sure, who's they? Who's they? T-H-E-Y. They. You kept referring to they.
Thank you, Senator Dunleavy.
Through the chair, that it would be the licensees or the boards themselves during our discussions.
Okay, thank you.
So, is it accurate to say that Alaska state statute requires a professional licensing to pay for itself, and so this is what's causing some fluctuation over time in account balances?
Madam Chair, that is correct.
Thank you. Ms. Jones.
Through the chair, if I can just revise my previous statement regarding the cost, I do know that the exam, people that apply for registration by exam versus comedy, there is a difference in that fee.
Thank you. Are there other questions? Ms. Alvedon.
Madam Chair, I do have the fee amounts right now here in front of me, and for all the licensures across the different disciplines, they are the same.
And that amount is?
Right now is $150 for 2 years.
Is there a discount for doing 2 years, or is that a flat fee for 2 years?
Madam Chair, that is a set fee for 2 years.
A set fee, thank you. Any other questions? Thank you for coming to Senate Finance today. Senator Bishop, did you have a question? I'd like to invite Representative Keto to the microphone. Keto, welcome to Senate Finance. If you have some comments in support of your legislation, we'd be happy to take those now.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This is really basically a sunset with the one specific change that changes the landscape architect position from a temporary non-voting position to a full voting member of the board. No additional costs associated with the change. The position has been in session law for about 17 years now, I believe. So we have been in a situation where the individual who serves in that position has been working for all practical respects as a board member, except not being allowed to vote. So they've been engaged in application review, in application discussions, in disciplinary discussions, and things like that. So this just formalizes and allows that individual, to become a full voting member of the board, which was originally anticipated when the landscape architect position was added. It was added without any landscape architects licensed in the state, so it wasn't appropriate to add that member to the board as a full voting member because we didn't have membership. And then I think a couple of times through the years attempts have been made, but those bills had not been able to make it all the way through the process, so we're trying to work this bill through the process to address that issue. And with that, I can take any questions.
Are there questions from committee members? Thank you, Representative Keita. Senator Bishop, can you walk us through the fiscal note?
Yes, Madam Chair. Fiscal note number one, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Appropriations, Corporations, Businesses and Professional Licensing, Allocation, Corporation of Business and Professional Licensing, OMB component numbers 2360. The cost is $29,600 per year paid for by receipt for supported services. Also, just a brief footnote, the professional licensing programs within the division, corporation, and business are funded by receipt-supported services. The fund source is 1156 receipt services, DGF, designated general funds. License fees for each occupation are set per AS 08-01-065, so the total amount of revenue collected approximately equals the occupation's actual regulatory costs annually.
Thank you. Any questions on the fiscal note? Seeing and hearing none, we're going to set this bill aside. Amendments are due by Monday at 5 p.m. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. I'd like to invite Senator Giesel and her staff, Carrie Knorr, to Senator Giesel, to the microphones. We have a sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 50 before us. It's an act relating to the fee for the sale or installation of studded tires and providing for an effective date. Senator Giesel, welcome to Senate Finance.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Senator Kathy Giesel, Senate District N. Madam Chair, Senate Bill 50 proposes to increase the fee that is found in Alaska Statute 4398025. This fee was put into place in 2004. It is a fee of $5 per studded tire installed on a vehicle. The fee was the result of numerous studies that were performed prior to 2002, which documented the damage of studded tires to road surfaces, paved road surfaces. Why would I be offering this bill? Madam Chair, I drive the Seward Highway, the Glen Highway, and the Parks Highway with great frequency, and the ruts on that road, those roads are significantly challenging in terms of safety. In addition, they are exceedingly expensive to repair. As you know, we've been in a budget challenge, and the studded tire fee I regard as a user fee, Madam Chair. This bill certainly does not ban studded tires, but says that folks who choose, and they are certainly welcome to do so, to use studded tires need to help with the repair of the roads. Today's roads are wider, faster, and have more traffic than in 2004 when this fee was put into place. Online are two DOT, Department of Transportation, professional engineers. I'm going to let them address the technical information, but I will just add, Madam Chair, that you will hear concerns about the size of the fee. That certainly can be altered, as you know, Madam Chair, but I would suggest that you consider the size of the fee in lieu of what it costs to actually repair. And you will hear that if you query these engineers, what the costs are statewide to repair the ruts in the roads. You will also probably hear from actually less than a handful of tire shops who say that they will go out of business if these studded tire fees are increased. Madam Chair, you will also hear that there are new technology rubber tires, winter tires, softer rubber, that perform as well or better than studded tires in most driving conditions. So I would share, Madam Chair, which you probably conclude yourself, as technology changes, businesses adapt, and there's certainly no prohibition on these tire stores from carrying the new technology tires. It's kind of similar to the stores that sold buggy whips are probably now Apple technology stores. With that, Madam Chair, my staff is available to do a sectional if you wish, and as I said, the DOT engineers are online to give you technical information.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. Carrie, if you could identify yourself for the record and then do a quick walkthrough of the bill.
Yes, Madam Chair, for the record, Carrie Knorr, staff to Senator Giesel. The bill before you, Senate Bill 50, has four sections, and so I'll do a sectional analysis. Section 1 amends AS 4397025B, and this section amends current statute in three different ways. It first increases the studded tire user fee from $5 to $50. It reduces the weight of studs that fall under this fee from 1.1 grams to 0.5 grams. It also ensures that all tires sold through online retailers for use in Alaska are subject to this fee. Section 2 of the bill adds a new subsection under AS 4398025. This section creates a new subsection I to establish legislative intent that the funds generated from this fee will be directed back to the Department of Transportation for the repair and maintenance of state-maintained roads, and it does not create a dedicated fund. Section 3 adds a new section into the uncodified law of the state of Alaska. This section outlines that the Act will apply to all tire sales and stud installations on or after the effective date. And Section 4 is the effective date, and this Act would take effect on July 1st, 2017.
Are there questions from committee members? Thank you for that presentation. With that, I'd like to direct your attention to the screen behind me. and ask Department of Transportation, Mark Nybold. Mark, are you online? In the room. Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Mark Nighthold. I'm the Chief of Design and Construction Standards for the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. In addition to my presentation and testimony, we have Mr. Michael Santangelo available for questions. Mr. Santangelo is our statewide materials engineer. Thank you. I understand that you all have the slides with you, but if you look at the screen as well, we can cover this. Alaska studded tire damage results in pavement rutting. The pavement rutting from our studded tires occurs primarily on our high-speed, high-volume routes. And as noted on the slide here, some of our examples include the Glen Highway, Seward Highway, and Minnesota Drive in Anchorage area, in the Anchorage area or the Mat-Su area. And we also experience it some on Egan Drive here in Juneau. We have confidence that the wear that we're talking about is studded tire wear from passenger vehicles. And you can see the evidence in this slide that this is typical. And that's that the rut paths correspond approximately to the wheel paths of the passenger vehicles.
Senator Bishop.
Just as a point, can you back up one slide? Just look at the picture for a minute. Not arguing the width of the. I just want to make a point, see if I'm right or not. But the width of the ruts, would you agree that almost looks like the same width of a Class 8 truck? And my point is, it's and they run studs too. Some of them in the winter.
Typically, our larger trucks are not running studs. Typically. We see chains on those. Mm-hmm. And our intent with the slide was to represent that it's typically much narrower than the commercial vehicles.
Yeah, but you'd agree that you look at the paint line on the crosswalk and the invert. I can see it from the picture. I'm just making a point. That's all. That some of this wear is caused by trucks, even in the summer. That the ruts are caused by Class 8 trucks hauling a lot of gravel around Anchorage.
Senator Dunleavy.
The chair, do you have any idea what proportion or what's the number of folks that use studs versus chains, or vehicles that use studs versus chains?
If it's later in your slide deck, we'll hold the question.
Through the chair and Senator McKinnon, I apologize that I broke the protocol there on my first response. I'll do better in the future here. But through the chair, I don't have that information directly in front of me, but I'm wondering if Mr. Santangelo can weigh in on that. Mike, do you know the answer to that question?
Mr. Santangelo, if you could identify yourself for the record and then please answer Senator Dunleavy's question if you can.
Yes, my name is Michael Santangelo. I'm the state materials engineer for Alaska DOT and PS since 2001. The answer to that question is we at DOT do not believe that it is deflection of the bases of the base material like we have in the past thought. We've cut up many, many sections of roadway that had obvious ruts in it, thinking that maybe it was a deflection of the base material due to heavy loads. And we found that, pretty much on every case, we had a flat plane underneath that rut, and it was deterioration of removal of the surface course of that asphalt, which was really predominantly a rut. Historically, that has not been the case. Way back, there were pavements that would shove or move because they were not constructed as well. They were very thin pavements because in the 70s and 80s, we were trying to do gravel to black type projects that basically we were trying to get 2 inches of surface pavement on gravel roads, and so there were some instances where that were it was the case, but that was in our past. Nowadays, we also for new pavements, starting in I think 2005 or four, we started doing asphalt treated base courses, which actually gave another layer of asphalt that was not necessarily always included in the design calculations. But to answer your question directly, we've cut up a lot of sections of pavement and just have not found deflections of that subbase material underneath the asphalt as being the driving force for ruts. Thank you.
Mr. St. Angelo, that is answering the question I was going to ask because I was wondering about the aggregate and the density of the rock that you use, so the cross sections and the plane on the bottom of the asphalt, that answers my question. Senator Dunleavy asked whether chains, if we had looked at chains versus and the usage of chains versus studded tires to see if chains were causing quite a bit of the rutting that we're seeing, at least in the picture that's before us. Senator Dunleavy?
So what I was trying to find out was the number of studs versus chains and vice versa.
Yeah.
Do we know what that number is, roughly, or that estimate?
We do not.
Okay.
We're still really trying to get a handle on the number of studs that are out there right now. But we do not. I apologize for not answering the question. I didn't understand it completely.
Madam Chair?
Senator, we do not have that information.
Through the chair, another question. What have the studies shown on the damage caused by chains versus studs, or vice versa?
For Alaska, we don't have any studies on that, on chains versus studs. Although I can speak to, you know, some of our more remote sections on the Parks Highway between Fairbanks and Anchorage, which has more truck traffic than it does really passenger traffic, and we, you know, up to a few years back, had pavements out there that were lasting 25 years and were not really showing any signs of rutting distress, more cracking. So trucks, you know, I guess would be under chains would be out in those areas more than you would see them in town in a metropolitan area or a city. But Alaska has not, under my knowledge, done any studies on chains, other than maybe what other DOTs have done in their mountain passes like Caltrans, WASHDOT, Oregon, of those. So we have not. We haven't identified chains as being really the driver in a lot of the rutting because it tends to be in urban areas and under high traffic, standard passenger vehicles traffic.
Thank you. And one last question, just a quick follow-up. Just a quick question, quick answer. Are there fees charged for chains as there are for studs?
I don't know. I'm kind of out of the fee area, more into the engineering area, so I would have to defer that to someone else that may know. I don't believe so, but I don't know.
Thank you, Mr. St. Angelo. Thank you, Senator Dunleavy. We do have many members of the public waiting to testify. With your support, if we could get through the presentation and then we can speak with both the sponsor and DOT after the presentations are complete so that we can open the public hearing. Please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next slide is basically backing up what Mr. St. Angelo talked about here. You can see that the bottom surface of these slabs that were cut out during this investigation, that there's not deflection in the bottom of the slab. You see primarily the removal of material from that rut area. And the next slide further represents that. And the other part that's important with this slide is you notice that it's not that we're shoving the material out of that center area. If we were shoving it out, then we would expect to see a raised element on either side of it. And you notice that the level that's run across here, the straight edge, represents that the pavement top surface is fairly flat with the exception of the area that is worn away or eroded away. And the next slide represents other states and Alaska's policy with respect to restrictions or permissions on studded tire use. although not all of, I'm sorry, our safety issues that are related to rutting here, we notice that it shows up in all of our driving conditions, whether it's icy road, dry road, or wet road. The mechanism of how that safety effect is manifested varies based on those, but you can see that it exists in all three of them. I think most of us have experienced that driving over those ruts in those typical conditions. In addition to the motorist safety issue, we note that the dust that is generated by the pavement wear poses a human health risk. And we recognize that that is not the only source of the dust, but it's a contributing source. We use, informally, we use a half-inch trigger for our project programming. And what I mean by that is, although we don't have a formalized policy that says when we have half-inch ruts, we'll repair the pavement surface, what we do is we use half-inch as a trigger to start our process of programming projects and to move ahead with that, recognizing that by the time we're able to deliver the projects, we're going to see some increase in that depth. Regardless of the motorist's choice of tires or the mechanism of the rutting issue, you know, I'll point out that we have multiple methods that we use to address the safety of the roadways. We're looking, the typical fixes include mill and fill in the traveled lanes, where we grind that pavement out and come back with a new flat surface. We've employed a hard aggregate policy where we use aggregate that is more resistant to the damage from the studs. And we've got some others that we continue to look at. This micro surfacing is a polymer mix with the aggregate that we can come in and we can lay just in the rut depth areas. There are constraints with each of these methods, but our point is that we're continuing to look at, you know, providing a safe condition for our motorists. And finally, on the next slide, you know, we'll talk about just briefly about the other technology that's out there. Although we recognize that there are certain benefits from studded tire use in certain conditions, it's worth noting that the technological improvements in the automobile industry, you know, all-wheel drive, ABS braking, and the tire technology, so the new compositions, the new Sipe tires, the more consistent use of all-season tires, that those are already in place and they already play a factor. So, and the final piece of that is that there's data that demonstrates it's a very small set of conditions where we actually have superior benefit from the studded tires. So, thank you.
Mr. Nyholt, thank you for your presentation. Senator Michicki.
I have several questions, but I can wait until if you, after public testimony, if you'd like, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are you able to stay, Mr. Nyholt?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair.
Thank you. With that, I'd like to open the public hearing on the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 50, an act relating to the fee for the sale or installation of studded tires and providing for an effective date. I will try to go by time that people have been waiting in line. So I may jump over the state from one LIO to the next, depending on where and when people have signed in. First up, from Kenai, Stephen Worthman. Stephen, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome to Senate Finance. Please proceed with a maximum of 3 minutes of testimony.
Thank you for having me today. My name is Stephen Wortham. I represent Alias Guitire. I'm the chief operating officer. Alias Guitire has stores in Kenai, Soldotna, Homer, Fairbanks, Palmer, Anchorage. And I've lived in Alaska for 44 years, and I have over 25 years of experience in the tire industry in the state of Alaska. I would like to mention a few things in my 3 minutes. I'll go as quick as I can. Studless tires are good, but they are not proven to be as good as studded tires. In certain conditions, studded tires outperform studless tires, especially in the stopping and starting the first 30 feet of takeoff and the last 30 feet of stopping. It is my opinion that just as good, the results of just as good, it could be the difference between life and death for certain people. As well, I know the state has added provisions to tax online merchandisers, but I have reservations and concerns in the means of which the state is going to enforce those rules. Other than auditing companies like Tire Rack or Amazon.com, I'm concerned how the state's gonna go about that. And I fear the results will be the government picking winners and losers. And I think Alaska-owned and operated businesses could potentially be significant losers in this. As well, the tax I feel disproportionately affects lower-income families, families that need the most help in the upcoming years in Alaska as we attend to our budget windfalls. As well, it's been mentioned a few times in these hearings about the vehicle technology and vehicles doing a lot of the driving. I agree with that. I'm concerned, though, that lower-income families can't afford these $50,000, $60,000 vehicles that have the technology to offset the deficiencies in studded versus studless technology. As well, we are concerned that the tax is a short-term quick fix, and we believe that the long-term ramifications could result in actually less tax revenue for the state of Alaska over the long term. I would like to close, because I'm sure I'm coming close to my 3 minutes. In previous hearings, we've encouraged the DOT and the committee to contact us with regard to some of the questions that you've had and presented. Our experience with studded snow tires and studless technology is over 38 years in the field. I have 10 years worth of data in my database that shows the breakdown in 8 different communities of studless sales versus studded sales. We encourage the state to contact us on that. With that, I think I'm going to hand it over to Jerry or Franklin Wortham here. He's online with me as well. Jerry's the owner of the company. Jerry?
Mr. Wortman.
Franklin Wortham. I am owner of Ali Escutara. I just have a couple of things to add here. Craig covered things pretty good. My one concern here is the financial burden that you could possibly put on us. For one example, this year our winter tire order has already been placed. We have to place it early. The numbers that we order, we have to place them early so that we can get them here in the speedy enough time that we can get them distributed to our stores and get them studded up. If this bill passes, we could essentially wind up setting on 12,000-14,000 units for the end of the year, and that could really put us into somewhat of a financial bind. There is no stud, to my knowledge. You guys keep talking about this 0.5-gram stud. To my knowledge, there is no such stud that is made. So you guys are basically targeting the studded tire market, period. Another concern is the online buying. I just don't know how you guys are going to control that. And if you have any idea what that's going to do up to us, people being able to buy tires and have them shipped to Alaska without any tire tax, stud tax, or sales tax, it's going to devastate us. So with that, I'll close, and thank you for your time.
Mr. Worthman, I had a question. The question is, does your business get a rebate from the state of Alaska to collect the tax?
Do what now? I'm sorry.
Does your business receive a rebate for collecting the tax for Alaska?
Yeah, we get a 5%.
I'd like to answer that. We receive a $900 credit from the state.
You can't. It is. We have to keep track of the people who are speaking. And so when you change between speakers, our secretaries can't keep up. So we need to identify you for the record.
I can answer that. We get a 5%.
Who is speaking?
$900 per quarter. That is correct.
Sir, I still don't know who's speaking.
This is Franklin Wortham.
Thank you so much. And you said again that you received the rebate of 5%?
That is correct.
Thank you, sir.
Maximum of $900.
Is that per quarter or annually?
Per quarter.
Per quarter, so $3,600 a year?
No, we can't combine all of our stores. We can only do it one time.
Thank you so much. With that, we'll move to Matsu. Bonnie Snyder. Bonnie, are you there?
Yes, this is Bonnie Snyder.
Welcome to Senate Finance. Your name, any affiliation, and then please proceed with 3 minutes of testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Bonnie Snyder, and I'm personally interested and passionate about this subject as an employee of Diversified Tire, as well as someone that commutes to Anchorage 3 days a week. This proposal is built on data that states new studless technology can perform as well as studded tires in most winter conditions, which excludes icy conditions. However, it has not taken into account the number of people that will choose not to invest the money for a changeover up to $110 spring and fall to put more expensive studless tires which don't provide the best possible traction. I believe there's a significant portion of studded tire users that will switch to all-season tires, not studless winters, thus decreasing safety by a much more significant margin than expected. A recent report from the Traffic Injury Research Foundation states that below freezing and on dry pavement, stopping distance for vehicles with all-season tires is 30% further than vehicles with winter tires. According to the Rubber Association of Canada, modern winter tires offer up to 50% or more better winter traction than all seasons. Furthermore, what percentage of road wear and damage can be attributed to the use of studs? I researched this by meeting with Dr. Osama Abaza, a civil engineering professor at UAA and an expert in transportation, traffic, and pavement design. I was hoping to gather the data and reports on which this view was based and was very surprised to find that there's next to no data regarding this subject. I was informed there is no report that can place the blame of a specific portion of the rutting on studs. Dr. Abaza informed me that we use a very flexible pavement compound in Alaska to prevent brittleness and consequently cracking when the temperatures drop. Thus, our roads are more susceptible to rutting to begin with. To conclude, this fee is not based on research. It is an arbitrary number. I believe it's ethically and fiscally irresponsible to propose a fee without adequate research to support the fee. Additionally, I do not believe that the 40 miles of road to Anchorage and the 30 to 40,000 people that commute every day should motivating this bill should dictate the availability and cost of a safety feature to 700,000 people. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, the next person at the Matsu LIO is Vanessa DeBock. Vanessa, are you there?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair.
Welcome to Senate Finance.
Thank you. My name is Vanessa DeBock, and I'm interested in this bill as an employee of Diversified Tire and also a previous employee of the state of Alaska, the Trooper's Office. After hearing all the information about testing of studless tires, I was interested in what law enforcement prefers. I found out that the Palmer DOT attempted to put Blizzax, which are studless winter tires, on Trooper vehicles in 2013 and 2014. But all Blizzax were removed from the AST vehicles by 2015 due to an increase in accidents. Anchorage Public Works Director says the Anchorage Police Department will continue to use studs due to their benefit in icy conditions. And he stated in an ADN article, if we are not seeing better traction or a safer tire, then it doesn't make sense to spend more. If the heads of these departments don't feel comfortable taking away studs from law enforcement who have undergone extensive driving training, why would we take them away from our citizens? Finally, according to AST, 20% of fatal crashes in Alaska involve teens. Do we really want to take studs away from our less experienced drivers? I do want to mention, someone was talking about the collection of the stud fees. That rebate that we get back for collecting those, I don't know if it's considered a rebate, but that was changed from $900 down to $600. So it's a 5% filing thing, but we only, a maximum is $600 now. Thank you for allowing me to express my concerns today.
Vanessa, thank you for testifying before Senate Finance. Are there questions from committee members? The next person waiting to testify at the MATSU LIO is Judy Snyder. Judy, welcome to Senate Finance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Judy Snyder, and my husband and I own and operate Diversified Tire in Wasilla. If this proposal becomes law, I believe that many, if not most, Alaskans will be unable to afford the additional fees, forcing them to drive on tires that do not offer the additional safety offered by studded tires. Mr. Nyholt with DOT stated that he has confidence that the rutting damage is caused by studded tires. One of my questions regarding that is I've traveled a lot of other states and states that do not allow studded tires, and yet I still see rutting damage on those roads. I've tried to do research to determine exactly what portion of the damage is by studs, and I just cannot find any information that specifically breaks down studded damage as opposed to damage caused by heavy use and just the sheer volume of traffic. Excuse me. It's our assumption that by increasing the fee by 900%, that will cause a majority of the studded tire users to stop using studs and potentially stop using winter tires altogether, putting them on all-season tires in winter conditions. We believe this would result in an increase in accidents, injuries, and even fatalities on our roadways, as well as a decrease in revenue to the state from the stud fee. I would like to encourage a review of the dates that studded tires are allowed on our roadways, and would really encourage Public Safety Administration to direct law enforcement to aggressively enforce the laws that we have. When tickets are issued for the use of studded tires outside the legal dates, right now that's a fix-it ticket. I would suggest that the department make that ticket a sizable fine and make it a not correctable ticket. I would also like to encourage a public service campaign to educate and remind the public about dates that studded tires are legal to run. I'd like to request a permanent sign be added on the Glen Highway somewhere between Anchorage and the Matsu Valley stating those legal dates, and also to put those dates on the electronic sign on the Glen Highway, especially reminding people about the spring deadline of April 30th. Thank you for the opportunity to share my concerns.
Thank you, Ms. Snyder. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, we'll go off net to Alfred Meyer. Mr. Meyer, are you there?
Hi, my name is Alfred Meyer, Jr. I represent Myers Muffler City. I'd like to go on record that I oppose this bill, SB 50. We're a small family business, been downtown on the corner of 5th and 8th for 60 years, so I've seen quite a bit. My building has been hit many more times than I can even count. Accidents happen on this corner every couple of weeks. When I take the time to go look at the vehicles, 90% of them don't have studded tires. That tells me something. My father introduced studded tires to Anchorage over 45 years ago. My whole life has been spent testing, studying, and studless tires. I believe in studs. Nobody likes to pay taxes. It's a bad word. I suspect that's why you keep calling it a fee. This would destroy my business. Another point I'd like to make, a normal tire is touched by human hands at its destination 3 times. You check them in, you move it, you stack it. For a studded tire, it must be touched by human hands a minimum of 9 times. It takes a tremendous amount of manpower to stud and move these tires. This is an increased amount of capital needed up front. The biggest cost factors are employees needed, and the rest, take your pick. Cost of the studs, storing of the tires, gambling on the weather of the tires, and paying for the rent if they don't sell. Studded tires contribute to the overall economy, period. The question has come up on how to police sales online taxes. My question is, who is policing it now? I've never been contacted on what kind of studs I use. How would you know if I use alloy or steel? Should be, if you were going to make it on anything, make it on all studded tires. Again, I'm on the corner of 5th and A downtown, which is right above the port. So I see semi-trucks go down every day, one way unloaded. I have new asphalt in front of my building. It's untouched. On the way back, you have to go up C Street. On C Street, we have the same circumstances that you're talking about on the other two highways. And that's only been a relatively small amount of time. That's pretty much all I got.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer. Thank you for joining Senate Finance today. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, in the nail check, we have Jeff Pasco. Jeff, are you there?
Yes, excuse me. Yeah, this is Jeff Pasco, excuse me. And I've learned quite a bit listening to his testimony. The only thing I might add to it is the people that live where there's no pavement, where they're driving on gravel roads only, they're going to be subjected to the same tax, and that's ridiculous. That's all I got to say.
Jeff, thank you for joining Senate Finance. The next person waiting off net in Alaska is Robert Looney. Robert, are you there?
Yeah, my name is Robert Looney. I'm with Shelby Ellison Tire in Craig, Alaska. I do oppose Senate Bill 50. I agree with most people on the line this morning. The $50 tire tax is going to kill the smaller business. We're going to have the less fortunate not be able to afford studded tires for their safety. The studded tire tax go into a general fund. All I hear right now is Glen Allen, Matsu Valley, Juneau. What about Ketchikan, Prince Wales, the areas that don't have the pavement or the traffic? Not only that, just roughly, you know, I sell at least 100 sets of studded snow tires to state, city, and government vehicles. They're not subject to a $50 tire tax. If the local everyday person is going to pay $50, why isn't a government agency going to? They drive the same roads everybody else does. If they're relying on studded tires, our people need to rely on studded tires. That's the gist of what I've been talking to people down here. And we do have a small community, a small island, and we don't have the highways. But if this law does pass, our tire tax collected may not come to our island. That's where our opposition lies right now. And that's about it.
Mr. Looney, thank you for calling into Senate Finance today. We appreciate your testimony.
Thank you very much.
Moving to the Kenai LIO, Larry Upperman. Larry, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to Senate Finance.
All right, thank you. My name is Larry Upperman from Soldotna. First off, I'd like to say I represent no tire manufacturer, retailer, or anything. I'm strictly here as a concerned citizen. First off, I'd like to say that in the United States, 40 states allow studded tires. And the 10 states that don't allow studded tires are the Gulf Coast states and Hawaii. Of the 40 states, none of them charge any type of fee of this magnitude for their tires. Alaska would be exponentially higher than any of the other 40 states. And some of the states down there actually do not even charge a fee for their tires at all. I don't have those numbers in front of me. Now, from a personal note on this bill, I came from a Midwest state a little over 25 years ago, and they had outlawed studded tires in that state. Since that time, since I've lived in Alaska, that state has, in fact, again, reallowed and reauthorized the use of studded tires in that state. So they have figured out that the studded tires do make it safer for most travelers. Now, from some of the comments I've listened to, it sounds almost like Senator Geisel, in her attempt with the SB 50, is trying to somehow force a, way to actually get rid of studded tires in the state of Alaska. And it seems like a lot of the testimony has tried to justify studded tires in the state. I believe in them. I believe they're safe. I believe we need those. But the thing that is has been mentioned, the tire companies, is the $50 fee originally put in at $75. Many, many people will not be able to afford this. I personally can afford the fee, but I think it's ridiculous to be charging this when we don't have actual numbers. According to the DMV website, there's 482,917 vehicles registered in Alaska in 2016. That is just passenger vehicles. So a question that was asked earlier, what percentage of those vehicles are getting studded tires? And you look at the fees. So, and then from a personal experience, about when I came from the Midwest to Alaska, for the first 10 years I lived here, I never used studded tires. I was then involved in a wreck about 15 years ago where if I would have had studded tires, that wreck would not have occurred. So I'd just like to express that while much of the discussion has been the justification of studded tires, which once again I do believe in, I think the bigger discussion needs to be is the exponential increase of this tire fee from $5 to $50. Am I personally against the tire fee? No. But you would think it could be implemented over the years or cut back. There's many other ways to take care of road management. The 80% of the registered vehicles are actually in the top five boroughs, Anchorage, Matsu, Juneau, Fairbanks, and the Kenai Peninsula. So from that standpoint, I'd just like to say that I'm opposed to this bill as it is absolutely as it is written right now, and think that we do need to revisit that $50 fee and think of another way to look at our road maintenance and upkeep, and that we also have to realize that the ruts that do happen, and in the areas, one of the other problems going into Anchorage, for instance, is there's only one road in and out of town. So that road is going to catch all of the traffic, all the studs, everything. So that's about all I have to say, and I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify and once again express my desire to revisit the fee of this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Opperman. Are there questions from committee members?
No question.
Senator Maticki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Opperman, just a question for you. You sound like a religious studded tire user. How many winters do you get out of a new set of studded tires?
Well, I typically put them on rims myself and switch them out each year myself, and I'll get, an easy 5-6 years out of them.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Opperman, thank you for testifying before Senate Finance today. The next person waiting online is Dave Hansen. He's off net. Mr. Hansen, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, House Committee co-chairs and members. My name is Dave Hansen. I'm a 42-year Alaska resident, currently living in Anchorage. I'm a believer in studded tires. For 42 years, I've had them. They've saved me many times. I've lived 15 years in Hope, and I can tell you driving the Hope Road or the Turnagain Pass area is ice most of the winter, and studded tires are critical to have. another 6 years, I was commuting from Anchorage to the Matsu Borough. Again, the number of days you have ice on that highway is amazing. We have a long winter and many, many ice days, and studs are a critical safety factor. I feel like the committee is perhaps, or this bill, is trying to punish people who are trying to stay safe and use studded tires. Come on, a 900% increase? I mean, I can see if we need to go from $5 tax to $10 tax, that's one thing, and that's something I would not fight. But this is ridiculous. And what it means is lower-income people, and that means pretty much people below the mid-income mark, are going to put off getting new tires, are going to drive on balded tires, and get in the roads will be much, much less safe because of your tax and what it's doing. And so how much money are you getting? At best, $3 million a year? Is it really worth increasing the safety hazards of our citizens for maybe $0 a year or $3 million at the highest end? The other thing I'd like to say is you talk about using a heavy stud versus a light stud, the 1.1 gram versus 5.5 grams. The 0.5 grams is aluminum stud that is lucky to last 2 years, where the heavy ones can last through 4 to 5 years. And, of course, we're talking about using them just during the stud season, the winter. And I guess I try to be very rational about public policy, but it's very hard on this one because all my acquaintances and friends believe in studs and feel that they're being targeted for no good reason and that the highways will be much less safe if you go forward with this bill. Thank you very much.
Mr. Hansen, thank you for joining Senate Finance today. Are there questions from committee members? With that, we are journeying outside of Alaska to Washington. Richard Nordness from Northwest Tire Dealers Association. Richard, are you there?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm here.
Welcome to Senate Finance. If you could identify yourself for the record, your affiliation, and then please proceed with your testimony.
Yes, Madam Chair. My name is Richard Nordness, and I'm the Executive Director for the Northwest Tire Dealers Association. And I'd like to go on record of opposing Senate Bill 50. It is true that tire manufacturers have made major improvements in snow tires over the last 15 years. And whether you're talking about the standard snow tire or the one we refer to as a studless snow tire, there have been improvements. But it still remains that studded snow tire is the best product out there for ice and snow conditions. In fact, in some cases, 35% better in braking and an average of 36 in acceleration. And so I would encourage the committee to take a look at the results of some of these testing facilities. Some of the testing has been done in Alaska itself in 2004. There's also a study from the state of Washington, Department of Transportation in 2003. And going to the European and Scandinavian countries, the Swedish Road and Transportation Research Institute has done a number of studies. All of them point to the fact that there is no better tire on compact snow and ice than a studded snow tire. So the simple truth is studded snow tires reduce the risk of accidents. This is based on the information found in the studies that I just had mentioned to you. One of the things that we have, we do have a real serious concern of how this fee is going to work. I think the gentleman from Alyeska Tire addressed it when we're talking about online sales. For most states and for the state of Washington, I know that it's difficult, it's impossible for it to collect a sales tax in it. So how much more difficult is it going to be for the state of Alaska to try to collect this this $50 fee? So one of the other concerns that we have is the effective date of this bill. This bill has an effective date of July 2017, this has also been addressed, and this obviously is going to be very harmful for to tire dealers. And so I would highly recommend that the committee take a look at some of the studies that have gone through to prove the studded tire is indeed a better performing tire. And with that, I thank you for your for listening to my testimony, and I will leave it at that.
Mr. Dordness, thank you for testifying before Senate Finance today. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, Gary Wessel. Gary, we're showing you're from New York. Any affiliation, and then please proceed with your testimony.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you. My name is Gary Wessel. I represent Bruno Wessel, Inc. We are a supplier of tire studs in North America for the past 45 years, and I'd like to go on record as opposing SB 50. I'm sure my testimony might be considered biased, being a supplier of the tire studs, but I've been in this industry for such a long time that I've heard these arguments time and time again, and there have been numerous studies from many different countries, and including Alaska has also done studies on this subject. Tire studs should really be considered a safety device, almost equal to seatbelts. If this bill were passed, it will make studded tires unaffordable to many. By passing this bill, accidents will increase, injuries and deaths will increase. Other costs like insurance rates will increase simply due to the amount of accidents that will be taking place. The revenue you hope to raise will not happen. Road wear will continue as volume, and heavy vehicles are all contributing to road wear. Countries like Norway, Sweden, Finland have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on studies on this subject, and the results are conclusive. By living in areas where winter conditions exist, this dilemma of road wear, salting, sanding, environmental challenges simply must coexist, and therefore have not banned studded tires. But in fact, have mandated that all vehicles on the road during winter months have four snow tires. There are no studies that show studless tires are equal to studded tires. You heard that testimony time and time again. Senator Giso has stated that several times. I've also heard that car technology is changing, and you have now self-driving vehicles, you have ABS braking, you have all kinds of technology out there, but I can tell you this, without traction, all those gizmos and additions to your cars, your car will simply sit and stay in place. DOT makes mention of dust from pavement wear being a dust comes. What about your salting and sanding? Isn't that a huge contributing factor to dust? Anyway, the studies that have been done are endless. And we certainly would like to, just as I said, stand record that we are opposed to this bill. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Wessel, thank you for calling into Senate Finance today. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing none. Is there anyone else waiting to testify off-net, online, or in Juneau? Anyone at all? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed on the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 50. With that, are there additional questions for Department of Transportation? Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If there were no set of tires, would there be ruts in the roads?
I believe there would be ruts.
Mark, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Madam Chair, my name is Mark Neidhold with Alaska Department of Transportation. It's likely there would still be some ruts, but based on the information and the slides that I presented, we expect that the ruts would not be as significant.
Through the Chair.
Senator Dunleavy.
What would cause the ruts if there were no studs?
Through the Chair, the ruts, as pointed out in some of the testimony, can result from shoving. That's the situation where the pavement, it's a plastic mix, and the pavement deflects, and it gets pushed out from under the wheel path out to either a deflection in the base course or to to create ridges on either side of the ruts. That was part of the reason that we showed you the slides that we did, was to show the difference between what we're experiencing with the studded tire wear.
One last question, Madam Chair.
Paul? Senator Dunleavy.
Do heavy vehicles or compaction cause ruts?
Mr. Nyholt.
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, yes, and they can result in ruts that come from sub-base deformation or from pavement shoving.
Mr. Nyholt, is it fair to say that friction between the tire and the speed, depending on the weather, can contribute to ruts, rutting also?
Madam Chair, that I believe that's a correct answer. Yes, it's fair to say that.
Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let's talk a little bit about cost. I remember a study a few years back that compared a tire in a circular pattern that was studded versus a tire that was not studded. Was that the state of Alaska that performed those studies?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, I'd like to defer that answer to Mike St. Angelo, our statewide materials engineer. Mike?
Mr. St. Angelo?
Yes, it's one of those documents that's on the Senate website for SB 50 that did that comparison. But, this is Mike St. Angelo, state materials engineer, Alaska DOT. Yes, we would see some rutting, but it's generally secondary consolidation due to just traffic loading right after initial opening of those roads. We design against rutting through a whole structural section that goes down 48 inches, more than what most DOTs in the nation do because of our deep frost penetration. And with our on state roads now, we're talking state roads, we're seeing also we're adding asphalt-treated base to fight frost heaving, which also gives strength to the road, the structural section of the road. So that being said, is a rutting failure due to shoving or heavy loads is a design criteria that we design to prevent. Now, that doesn't mean that initial quality may not be where the design was, or that we have intersections where there are braking forces due to heavy traffic that tends to shove the pavement. But generally, if we follow our specifications and our contractors who do a good job for us, excellent job, we don't experience that rutting. It's due to, deformation due to loading. The one thing that studded tires do cause with friction is they polish the aggregates and they reduce the frictional component for all traffic during the summer months or even during winter when the roads are dry. So, but if we were to remove studs from the roadway by design and good construction practices, we should see no deformation in our structural section at the roadway surface. And our calculations and our equations and how we evaluate our pavements are pretty extensive. We would be able to see this. Other states do have deformation, and there's a picture also that discussed the difference between deformation and rutting, and it has to do with the shape of the rut. And so other states that have high temperatures or mixed designs that aren't to the standard that they should be, that were constructed, could see that deformation. And so it's hard to make a judgment between why do I see it in other states with no studs versus here. But we believe, firmly in all the research we've done over in my tenure here of 16 years of studying this one issue more than anything. And we believe that if studs were not used in Alaska anymore, that we would not see any rutting.
Follow up, Senator Machicki, followed by Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure I got a direct answer to my question. I'm just wondering how, was viewing your presentation, I don't have a data set in front of me, but how do I know it's not anecdotal? Have you specifically studied a tire surface that has only been exposed to studded tires versus a tire surface that's been only exposed to non-studded tires?
No, we haven't, because studded tires are allowed in Alaska, and it's hard to be able to make that separation of the data set that we look at. So since studded tires have been entered our market, U.S. market, in the 60s, I understand why people feel the way they do, because they have long-term experience with studded tires. And so their desire to keep them is understandable. The studless tires are making, you know, significant advances since 93, entering our markets in 93. And they're becoming on par. Studs have a lot of negative aspects to their design, and that they don't, not as much rubber touch the road, so laterally they don't have the ability to hold the road, and they do increase stopping distances in drying wet conditions, which, you know, can be a predominant typical condition for state roads. Not always. And so, no, we haven't studied exactly studs versus non-studs, but when you saw cut down through pavements on heavily rutted areas, and you get down in the ditch and you look at that and you see an absolutely flat surface underneath from a project that you were involved with paving, you understand that stud wear is a loss of asphalt due to abrasion, and it's not a rutting strength failure mode. So,
thank you, Mr. St. Angelo. Mr. Lesman.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, committee members. For the record, my name is Mike Lesman. I'm the legislative liaison for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Madam Chair, to get back to a question that Senator Machicki had, I think he is referring to a 2004 study that was conducted by the University of Alaska Anchorage. We can get you the study follow-up to this committee hearing if you'd like.
Thank you. Senator Machicki, follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Lesman. That's what I was looking for. I have one last question, Madam Chair.
Senator Machicki.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I've had lots of engineers working for me through the years, and it's difficult sometimes for simple yes or no. I get it. Can you give me an average? What do you think the annual cost? Have you put something together for the statewide cost or per mile cost that you believe are associated with studded tire wear?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, the average cost is approximately $500,000 per lane mile to do the repair for the studded tire wear. So it depends on the amount of stud use, how many years of service we get out of the pavement mix. But if you look at that and assume, you know, 7 to 10 years on there, you're looking at in the neighborhood of $50,000 a year amortized cost if we use the $500,000 per lane mile and we assume a 10-year service life.
Thank you, Mr. Nyholt. Senator Bishop.
Thank you.
Are there other questions for DOT on Senate Bill number 50? I have a question for the tax division. We have from Anchorage, Brandon Spanos, Tax Division, Department of Revenue. Brandon, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Brandon, we heard a public testimony that asked about online. Can you give any insight on either online, a fee collection, or how your department would handle the increase in the fee that's proposed?
Yes, for the record, Brandon Spanos, Deputy Director with the Tax Division. And as far as the online purchases go, there is a current bill in Congress that's seeking to allow states to tax online sales. Currently, a company that's selling online would have to have nexus with the state, defined taxable nexus, which is usually defined by physical presence. So if the company selling online doesn't have physical presence, it would be difficult for the state to actually enforce a tax on online retailers. It would be much simpler to amend the bill to apply the tax to the purchaser. By simpler, I mean through the collection. If we were to actually know who purchased the tires, we could collect. We would have the legal authority to collect from the purchaser, whereas we currently wouldn't have the legal authority to collect from the seller if that seller didn't have a physical presence in the state or some taxable nexus. Some states have made agreements with companies like Amazon to provide a list of purchasers so that the tax can then be applied or rather assessed upon the purchaser in the state. That's usually written into the statute. And in other cases, online companies have made agreements to collect and pay the sales tax even though they don't have a physical presence in the state. So that could also be done through agreements with the online retailers.
Have we done, this is Senator McKinnon.
There were two parts. I apologize. I think I only answered the first part of your question, Madam Chair.
To finish on this part of the question, has the Department of Revenue entered into any online agreements do we have any fees or taxes that we're currently working online with companies that we create contracts with?
Madam Chair, we don't have any sales taxes per se that would apply to online sales currently, other than the tire fee. The tobacco taxes that we have, you can't import legally the cigarettes without paying the taxes. Alcohol, the fee doesn't apply if you're purchasing them online, or the tax rather. And we don't have any other sales taxes on a state level. So there's no need for us to enter into agreements with online retailers.
Thank you. Does the department have any assertions on the balance between the weight and the shipment cost of bringing tires in versus sales inside of the state of Alaska associated with the fee? There was an assertion by one of the testifiers that we were creating an unfair playing field, in my words, not theirs.
Madam Chair, we have not done an analysis of cost for shipping in tires purchased online and how that would potentially decrease sales in the state.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, amendments are due by Monday at 5. We'll cover a fiscal note at that time. Is there anything else to come before the committee? We do have a scheduled meeting for tomorrow. That meeting was scheduled for cleanup. I believe we've completed our business for the week. I am working, as well as Senator Machicki, over the weekend on Saturday doing interviews for the Office of Victims' Rights as well as the Ombudsman. And then on Sunday, I'll be meeting with the university president. Anything else to come before the committee? Seeing and hearing none, on Monday at 9 a.m., we'll have SB 107, Alaska Capital Income Fund, before the committee, and SB 88, Alaska Mental Health Trust Land Exchange. In the afternoon, pending referral, we'll have SB 102, SB 103, and SB 104. Those are the trio of bills that we introduced for Internet for Schools, the Education Scholarship Innovation Education Fund, the Alaska Performance Scholarship, as well as Education Curriculum. For general notice, we always have public hearing on introduction of the bills that the Senate Finance Committee brings forward. Other committees or other bodies may handle that differently, but please, if it's on our agenda, it means we're taking public hearing right after we introduce the bills. Typically, we set the bills aside after that time to allow email or other contacts to come in so that if someone missed the public hearing. Also on Tuesday, we will be taking up the capital budget at 9 a.m. Because that's not an introduction of a bill, but actual just public testimony, it's outlined like that on our notices. So I just wanted to let people know who are interested in the capital budget that Tuesday, April 11th, 2017, at 9 a.m., we'll start public hearing on the capital budget. With that, we're adjourned. And the meeting for Saturday is canceled.